thanks for tuning in today. We got a great message planned for you today, but we are also wrapping up The Power of Love. Been 8 weeks long. We very rarely do a series that long, but this one has been good. People have been telling me emails and telling me thank you for giving this message and encouraging you. So I hope that they've helped you. Now, if you need to go back and look, we've done being patient, being kind, humble, a lot of different talks on love. But this one's going to be difficult today because it is truly the ultimate test of love. Now, when I say that, when I put this on screen, I think you'll know what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians 13:5, here's what it says. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs others do. Now, I don't know if that's easy for you, but most people struggle because when someone's offended them or someone's made them mad, it's hard to not remember that. One of my good buddies, Putt, he always says, man, we need to turn the scoreboard off, all right? And it's true. Love literally turns the scoreboard off. It's not keeping a record of what's happened, who's wronged who, and how many times, and so forth and so on. And we all as humans struggle with that because we love having the ammunition to fire back at someone, particularly the people that we love the most, was the ones we take the shots at. So I'm guilty of it. I'm sure you might be as well. Don't nudge anybody. Just kind of keep looking forward. But I want to make you laugh a little bit before we start getting serious. And this is my boy, Nate Bargatze. He's talking about a relationship with his wife and sometimes how forgiveness really is a big part because we don't always connect. We don't always understand. So hopefully lighten up a little bit, laugh a little bit as we prepare to go a little deep. Watch.
My wife will tell me that she always says that I don't like the way she talks, and it's not her voice. I like the sound of her voice. That'd be a big problem, I think, if it was like, it's your voice. I just hate it. It's the information that she chooses to tell me at times. We took a trip to Florida, to Fort Lauderdale, and her and our daughter are flying from Nashville, where we live, and I'm flying from Detroit. We're meeting at Fort Lauderdale's airport. I have to find them when they land. So I called her because I was about to take off and I was like, all right, what time do you guys leave? She goes, noon. And it was 11:30 and they're still at home. I was like, Laura, I don't know if you even know what an airport is. But if that plane was in our driveway, I don't think you could make it. And she said, that's what time we leave for the airport. Our flight's not till 1:30. And I was like, all right. So, what do you think I wanted to know when I asked that? Is that what you thought the best time you could give me was a time that means nothing to nobody? What time did you go to bed last night? Just tell me that, and I'll just look up all the planes that land in Florida, and I'll guess which one I think you're on. She said, I'm sorry I don't talk the way you want me to talk. I'm like, I want you to talk like a regular person, all right? Like you've been around people before, you know? We didn't talk in Florida, I'll tell you that.
Come on, y'all. Woo. If you're in a relationship, you get it. Everybody else is like, I don't really get it. Oh, trust me, that's real. And here's the deal. Forgiveness is something that we have to practice a lot, but it is often misunderstood. And that's why we want to talk about it a little bit today. We're going to have a little fun with it, but we're also going to go a little deeper because this is a challenge, I promise you. There's a lot of myths when it comes to forgiveness, but I'm going to give you a list of what forgiveness is not. This is pretty easy, but you're not going to remember it unless you write it down or download the notes because you're going to need to know this. It may be today, but for sure this week it's going to happen, all right? Number one, forgiveness is not conditional. Just remember this. It is very easy for us to say, well, if they do this, then I'll forgive them. But when you look at biblical forgiveness, it is not conditional at all. Real forgiveness is unconditional. And the best example of that as we approach Easter is Jesus in the middle of a very, very difficult circumstance, the cross. Jesus actually, while he is on the cross, extends forgiveness to the people who are actually doing this to him. Luke 23, Father, forgive these people, for they really don't know what they're doing. Now, what's fascinating about that right there, nobody asked for forgiveness. There wasn't the guy down there, the Roman centurion. They're not out there going, hey, man, forgive me. Sorry we had to do it. They're actually partying. They're celebrating. They're gambling over his clothes. They're having a good time going, this is the cost. This is the price for your mistake, which Jesus made no mistake. But yet here he is innocently going to the cross
And in that moment, he doesn't hold bitterness. He extends forgiveness as an example for us to follow. Number two, it's not minimizing the offense. You know how this is. Many times someone does something to you, and what do? It's okay, it's no big deal. Well, if it's a small thing, maybe that's true, but so many times it's not a small thing. There's a big difference between being wounded and literally being wronged. And I'll put it on the screen so you can understand what I mean by this. Wounded is when it is accidental. This can be in a spouse relationship. This can be friends, coworkers. You're not intentionally trying to hurt somebody, but something you've said or something you've done has unintentionally hurt them. But being wronged is when someone is intentional about the pain that they're extending to you. They are on purpose trying to hurt you. And unintentional hurt happens all the time. Somebody could be talking about the clothes you're wearing or something that happened at work, and they're just joking, but you don't know that they're joking, and it hurts you. And that's when you say, man, hey, listen, I think it hurt, but it is no big deal. I forgive you, whatever, move on. But when someone is intentional about hurting you, that is where it really is difficult. And forgiveness is reserved for those moments where you go, you know what? I know you intentionally hurt me, and I am going to extend forgiveness even when it's possible you don't even think that you've done anything. Because this is the challenge that Jesus sets forth, the scripture challenges us with. Number three, it is also, forgiveness is not resuming a relationship without changes. This one is a huge one because many people are scared that if I forgive someone who's offended me, an ex, a business partner, or whatever it may be, then I have to go back in business with them or I have to go back in a relationship with them. And that's not true. It's not really resuming a relationship without changes. There may be drastic changes as you move forward, but forgiveness is still a very important part. To even consider going back into a business partnership, a relationship, there's three things that have to happen if someone has really messed you up. Number one, that person has to be genuinely sorry. They know they've done it, and then they're coming back and going, man, I really did not intentionally do that. I am sorry. Or if they did intentionally do it, they recognize it and go, man, I am sorry that I caused this pain. That was not really who I want to be or what I want it to be about. The second thing is they have to make restitution when possible. They have to come back. They're the ones going, whatever I got to do to make it right, I am willing to do that. Sometimes that's hard, sometimes impossible because of time or distance or whatever it may be. But when you can, you're saying, hey, I am asking for forgiveness and I'm going to do everything I can to make it right. And then the third thing is they have to work to rebuild the trust. Now, why do I give you those three things before you would even establish a relationship again? Because when someone has a tendency to continually hurt you, let's say in a marriage relationship, they keep over and over and over again hurting you. You are obligated by Scripture to forgive them. Now, I know that's hard, and here's an example. I'm going to give it to you, and this is difficult. But if you were in an abusive, alcoholic relationship, the spouse that you have abuses alcohol, you know what I'm saying? They abuse you verbally, physically, whatever it is. You can say, listen, I don't know if I can forgive them. Well, we're obligated to forgive them. And you go, well, Justin, I don't know if that's true. Let me just give it to you and then hang on for the second part. Matthew 18:22. Peter, very confused, just like we were, going like, how many times do I have to forgive someone, Jesus? And he comes in like one, two, and he's like, you know, gets up to seven. Not seven times, Jesus says. How about 70 times seven? Now, I went to Southwood. I'm not great at math, but I think that's over 400 times, all right? So as it keeps going on, you're like, well, that's the number. Now, Jesus was using as an illustration saying, listen, it's continual forgiveness. You don't get the option of waiting on that. You're obligated. But at the same time, remember, you don't have to move back into a relationship with that person. You don't move back in. Somebody's an abusive alcoholic, you're like, well, you got to forgive them. Now let's move back in. Here is the reason I say this. You're obligated to forgive, but you're not obligated to trust them again. Can I get an amen? That takes time. Time. When I was growing up, there was this little saying that we kind of pick with, and it's time will tell and doo-doo will smell, so forgive me for that, all right? And you're going, Justin, that's a little rough. Why are they saying that? It's because when you're in a relationship, eventually the truth reveals itself. And if you're going to trust someone, you have to go through time to prove that. Now, before you're offended, you know that's reality. And Peter was asking the same thing. He's like, hey, Jesus, now wait a second. You're telling me I got to forgive people 70 times 7? Well, wait a second. He's like, yes, you're obligated to do that. It's hard to do, but that's what I'm asking for you, Peter. And then there's a whole chapter, because Matthew 18, it was like this whole thing. They were working through it just like we are, going like, what do you do? I don't understand. He's like, listen, you may not trust them initially. That will take some time, because over time, you'll know if they're genuine. You'll know if they really mean it. It will be this idea that over time, then you can reestablish relationship. But forgiveness is required. It is obligated. And you go, well, why? Because Jesus says in Matthew 18 that just like I forgave you, I am calling you to forgive other people. Why would you hold that over their head when I don't hold your sin over your head? And the truth is, you've asked for forgiveness over and over again with God, and he doesn't give up on us. And I am telling you the same thing. Don't give up on those people. Forgive them, but let time prove itself to whether or not you can trust them again. Now, number four, you ready? Write it down. It's not forgetting what happened. Now, this is a big one, because there's a cliche in our culture. Forgive and forget, brother. That's what you do. That is a sweet saying, but it is impossible, because your brain remembers those offenses, especially when it was intentional hurt, whether through business or friends or in a relationship with someone else. It's like, man, I know they were intentionally trying to hurt me. They were trying to really get at me. And you can repress that. You can kind of push it to the side. But things happen and it comes back up and you remember again. So real forgiveness, you can't forget it. The only thing you can do really is put it into God's hands, because God really is good at, and the only one that can do what we're talking about. He's the only one who can forget it, and he will help you deal with it. Look for him saying Hebrews 8. I will forgive the wrongs they have done. This is God talking about us. And I will not remember their sins. He's the only one that can do that. He didn't tell us to do that because he knows we can't do that. He says you should forgive them, but you may not be able to forget it. So what do you do, Justin? If God can forgive it and he can forget it, but what do we do with all this hurt and pain? Here it is. You ready? You can't forget it, but you can replace it. Now you go, Justin, what do you mean? Philippians 4 gives us a great example. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Because this is where the battle happens. This is why the power of love is so important. You started with it going, hey, love keeps no record of wrongs. But you're going, but I'm human. I remember you messed me up. You did this wrong. And we like to kind of pull it back up and put it in their face. And God's going, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not who I want you to be. I want you to be able to put it into my hands and start focusing on what's right and what's good about the relationship, not what they did wrong. Focus on what's right, what is true, and celebrate that. Because as you go through life, you know there's going to be disappointment. You know there's going to be hurt. You know there is going to be pain. And you've heard the phrase, especially in churches, like, well, it's all good, brother. And the truth is, it's not all good. It's not all good. But the other side of that, God is working for our good. Now, why do I say it's not all good? This past week, I had one of the roughest circumstances that I've had to deal with. And that is a tragic death of a young person. Chaplain for the fire department, one of our firemen, his son was tragically killed on Burt Coons this past week. And when somebody comes up and says, it's all good, trust me, it's not all good. You go into Oster, you go into that waiting room, and you see all the state police there. This young man was a game warden. All the game wardens are there. All the fire department's there. I'm telling you, it's not all good. And you go, well, what do you do in those circumstances? This is what I'm telling you. You're trying to focus on what is right, what is good. You're trying to walk through understanding why the world is the way it is. And sometimes people in these circumstances go, well, Justin, explain this to me. Why? I'm like, man, I don't know. I can't understand why. The truth is, it was an accident. A lady turning into Home Depot or somewhere in that area right there on Burt Coons, didn't see him, and it's over. And so there's a tendency, too, to want to hold something against that person. Someone's done something wrong to you, to your family. I get it. Surely you understand that there's a lot of hurt, there's a lot of pain. And so you're navigating all of this and all of that hurt and all of that pain. You're going, it's all good. I'm like, no, man, it's not. But God, in this moment, I need you to help me to focus on the good. It's the same if you're going through a divorce. It's the same if you got family problems or a business partner sold you out. There's all these extremes. And well, it's all good. I'm like, no, it's not, man. I'm struggling through this. I'm holding this bitterness or this anger at this family member or this stranger or this friend. And then when you try to navigate how to do this, you're like, what do I do? Romans 8 gives us some hope when it shows us and it says that we know that all things, and this is what's so hard for me to grab a hold of, but I know his word is true. They work together for the good of those who love God. It may not make sense right now, because I'm telling you, it don't make sense. And that hurt and that pain is real, whether that's a divorce, whether that is a broken friendship, a failed business, or the tragedy when someone else has had an accident and there's now, man, can I forgive them and how do I work through this? All that's real. You can talk all the church you want. You can say it's all, but I'm telling you, when you walk out there, this is the real stuff. So what I have to do and what I'm challenging you to do is to go back to the truth of God's word. You see it on the screen. It's like, God, I don't understand it, but I know you love me. And I don't understand it, but I know that I can trust you, even when it doesn't make sense. And God, I'm going to have to let you handle this because I'm incapable of handling the hurt and the pain associated with this situation. Man, my unforgiveness is eating me up. My pain, my hurt is killing me, and I don't want to keep dealing with this. And I got to believe that somehow in the midst of all this, you're going to work something out. So don't walk around just saying it's all good when the truth is, man, it may not all be good. But I can discipline myself to focus on the good, to point my attention to the good, to look for the good. And then here's another great reminder, Romans 12. Never avenge yourselves. Man, if you ever been there, you're like, when somebody's wronged you, you're like, man, I'm going to get them back. I'm telling you, I'm gonna get them back, whether it's in business or relationship. I'm gonna find a way to do it. When the scripture says, man, let God handle it. He said, I'll repay those who deserve it. When I was in that room, there's all kind of emotions this past week. We don't know the intentions of this person. They were testing for drunk driving and all that. And so then there's these anger feelings that rise up in you. And you start going, well, then they need to do this or they need to do that. And then there's also, as a man, you can't solve it. You can't fix this problem. You got all these men, all these professional first responders wishing we could solve the problem. And then there's this anger and then there's this hurt and you're walking through all these emotions. The surgeon comes in and as great as they are at Oshkosh, we're super thankful for all that they've done. They're going, man, we just couldn't do it. And you're going, God, why? And then you start thinking, man, what if, I feel like I got to do something. And you're overwhelmed with all these emotions. And here's what God was speaking to me, and as difficult as it is to talk today about it, it's going to even be more difficult this week because we got to live it out. And here's what I have come to figure out, and I'm working on, I'm not there yet, but this is what I'm working on. Do your part and let God do his part. Focus on you doing all that you can do. God, I surrender. Lord, I need you to help me forgive. If it's somebody who's offended you, if it's something you're going through hard time, if it's a circumstance or a situation that is eating you up, God, help me to forgive. And God, I'm going to do my part. And you go, well, what's the rest of that story, Justin? Isn't there more to that? Yeah, Luke 6 says it like this. Do good to those who hate you. Now you're going, you don't know my spouse, my ex-wife. You don't know that. How am I supposed to do good to them? You don't know how to bless those who curse you. You should have heard the voicemail I got yesterday talking about kids and custody, and you want me to bless them? I'm going to bless them, all right. And then pray for those who mistreat you. See, all of this stuff right here, Christianity, when you come in and sing some songs and, you know, hear a good sermon, oh, that was great, man, we're great. This is why Christianity is so powerful. Because on your own, you cannot do those things. There's no way. On your own, you're not going to make it through the worst of the worst. This is why a relationship with Jesus, a faith in Christ, looking at his word and applying it to your life, this is why it matters, because somebody is going to hurt you unintentionally or intentionally. You're going to walk through a circumstance situation that, man, it's just building up inside of you. You're going, God, what am I supposed to do? And he's going, do good to them, bless them, pray for them. And you're going, man, how am I going to do this? Only through God's strength. I'm gonna put it on the screen for you. Ready? Remember, do good, bless, and pray. That is our responsibility, those three things. And trust God to handle the rest. God, I can't do anything, but I'm gonna do my best to live out what you told me to do. Now, remember last week I told you it's like this love thing, it takes practice. Here's another example. It ain't easy. That's why it takes practice. You're in the middle of March Madness, you're watching all these people shoot free throws and shoot these baskets, and then some of them just keep missing. But why? Because maybe, just maybe, practice is one thing. When you get in the game, it's a whole nother thing. This is why you still have to put the time into it. You have to learn the scripture. Download the scripture. Read the scripture. Put it on your dashboard. Put it on your mirror. Why? Because the more you read it, the more it begins to come inside of you and the more that you can practice it. This is what happens. It's like you hear a sermon like this and then it happens this next week. I don't remember what that said. Download the notes. Go back to the app. Listen to it again. Why? Because we're human. And the power of love can change us, and it can change the world we live in when we live out what Christ has called us to live out. That's why Peter, in Matthew 18, came to Jesus and said, hey, Lord, now how often am I supposed to do this? Bringing it back up again. You really want me to forgive somebody over and over? He said, that's right, 70 times 7, an extravagant, crazy amount, because Peter, I'm going to do the same for you. You're going to mess it up over and over and over again. You're going to try to do the right thing and you're going to mess up. Sometimes you're going to intentionally sin because you want to, and I'm still going to forgive you. And that's what I'm calling you to do to the people and the relationships in the world that you live in. But have you ever thought this? I tell you what, Justin, I hear you, but I just can't forgive them. I've heard people say it, man. I've counseled, talked to people, and they're like, I'll never be able to forgive them. Remember, I just showed you the five things that forgiveness is not. Be careful on this one. I understand the hurt. I understand the pain. But let me tell you why I say be careful. Colossians 3. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. If you need more clarity, Matthew 6, you can't get forgiveness from God without also forgiving others. You need forgiveness from him? He says, I am telling you, do your part. And then don't cut God out of his part. So when you say, I can't forgive him, then God's going, listen, wait a second. Remember how this thing works. When you're in church, listen, it is about a vertical relationship with God that helps you with the horizontal relationships on this planet. And he's saying, you got to be getting this right, and it is equally as important as getting this right. So when some people say, well, man, I'm connected to God, I'm a Christian, but they're not forgiving, they're not caring about what they've done with other people, he's like, no, you're not. And this is what Jesus was driving home. It's a messy, ugly, difficult world. We're going to mess up. There's mistakes, there's sin, and I'm challenging you, forgive, even when it seems impossible, because it will be an example of who I am as your Heavenly Father. And when it doesn't make sense and you give it to people who don't deserve it, then they're getting a glimpse of what I will do for them. And you know this, but here's why this message is so important. Because love is most powerful when it forgives. Spouse, kids, friends, neighbors, strangers. Man, you can say you love people, but man, when you go, man, I really want to ask for your forgiveness, and I'm extending that. That is the ultimate act of love, and Christ has shown us that. But if you need a real life example, I'm glad you tuned in today because I happen to have one for you. This is a true example of the power of love and the power of forgiveness. Watch.
Not many convicts consider themselves blessed, but this guy does, and for good reason. He's getting out way early.
It's going to be like being on borrowed time. You know, because I know that I should still be in prison because the justice system said that I should still be in prison.
In 2003, Eric Smallridge of Tallahassee, Florida, was found guilty of 2 counts DUI manslaughter. While driving at twice the legal limit for alcohol, he hit a car carrying Lisa Dixon and Megan Napier, both 20. They died instantly. He got 22 years for the crime, which sounded just about right to Renee Napier, Megan's mom.
I felt like our system had served us well and justice had been served. I definitely felt that.
But a few years later, a woman came forward and asked the judge to reduce Eric's sentence in half. She claimed Eric was truly sorry for what he'd done and deserved leniency, and the judge obliged, partly because of what she said, but mostly because of who she was.
Do you realize what a gift you gave this guy?
I do.
Renee's 180 began with the single turn of a single phrase. First at sentencing and later in a letter, Renee told Eric she'd forgiven him, even though at the time she hadn't, not really. At trial, Eric had actually been pretty defensive and unapologetic.
I could hate him forever, and the world would tell me that I have a right to do that. But it's not going to do me any good, and it's not going to do him any good. I would grow old and bitter and angry and hateful.
Forgiveness is that important?
If you want to heal. I think, in my opinion, forgiveness is the only way to heal.
And she says it did heal her, almost as much as it healed him.
It was like a burden. It was a weight off my chest. I no longer had to hide behind this facade.
Following the forgiveness, Eric apologized repeatedly and profusely, in private and public, to the families of both girls. Eventually, Lisa's parents forgave him too, which only inspired Eric to atone even more.
Please welcome Eric Smallridge.
While still in custody, Eric agreed to speak at high schools with Renee, telling kids, as only they can, the consequences of drinking and driving.
Chains, shackles, lost hopes and dreams, broken dreams.
They both plan to continue doing this even after Eric's release.
I'm going to go to wherever we need to go to spread this message because I don't believe it's about us anymore.
And there's going to be healing and there's going to be good things from here on out, you know.
Yay!
This week, Eric Smallridge was released from custody into the arms of his parents. His mom, so grateful, she actually hugged the guard first. It's a happy ending that would have never existed without forgiveness. Because of that one powerful word, tonight he is free. And so is she.
Oh my gosh. You remember what I showed you? It was like do good and bless them. You just think about and pray for them. Like this woman gave you that in real life. And I'll give you more. Ephesians 4:32. What are we supposed to do? Be kind, compassionate. Do you get a better example? Forgiving one another, just as God forgave you, just as Jesus forgave us. This is what we're called to do. It's not easy, and this is why I'm wrapping this series up with this topic. If you need to go back and watch the others, go back and watch them, because this is the real Christian life. It's not going to be easy, and this is what he calls us to, but can you imagine if we all live out our faith and our relationship with God in this way with others? You know, I was watching TikTok. I know that may surprise some of you because I'm not on social media, but I do like TikTok while we have it. I understand it may go away, but while we have it, believe it or not, there's some good things to learn. And I guess because it hears you, right? I know what's going on. They sent me this video and I was going to just take the illustration and do it myself. And I was like, you'll never be at a good, it's this guy. This is a preacher talking about love, and if you think that I was talking crazy a little earlier, get ready, because there's no better way to end today's service and to get the illustration out there than this pastor. Pastor, take it away, my friend.
I'm in Family Dollar, and I'm trying to figure out why they call these diapers loves, knowing what's going to go in it. I understand Huggies, Pampers, pull-ups, but when I got to this, I was lost. Why in the world would they call these diapers love? I said, I bought a pack. The Holy Spirit started to deal with me. He said, now, what do those love diapers do? I said, well, love gets pissed off sometimes. Lord said, what else? I said, love put up with a whole lot of crap. All kinds of crap. Lord said, what else? I said, but love stays connected to them until they are changed. Love won't let go until they are changed. And the Lord said, that's what I want y'all to do. Put them in love until they are changed. I know you've taken a lot of crap. I know they pissed you off. I know they did you wrong. But the Lord said, put them in love. Said, put them in love. Yeah, you need one too. Put them in love. Tell your neighbor, put them in love. Because a change is going to come.
Come on, y'all. Come on, come on. That's what I'm talking about. I added that Michael Jackson because love never felt so good. All right, come on, let's pray. Lord, I love you. And I thank you that you call us, Lord, to be a people of love. Whether it's in our workplace, our homes, or our community around the world, just help us to live it out. Lord, thank you that you forgive us. Lord, that you've shed your blood so that we can have a fresh start, a new beginning. And then you call us, Lord, to love others the same way. Lord, give them grace, Lord, the way you give it to us. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. Thank you for giving us fresh starts. Help us to live that out. Somebody doesn't know you, God, ask them. Right now, Lord, I pray that they would just say, come into my life, Jesus. Give me a fresh start. I need to change. I want to be different. I need your help to forgive. And Lord, I know you'll meet them right there and you'll help us do it. I'm so thankful they're here. Help them when we walk out of these doors today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I get an amen somewhere? Come on, y'all. Come on.